Recently, WWNO's Coastal Desk reported on the changing fortunes in Louisiana's oil industry. Well, it turns out one of our stories spawned a separate side story of its own. Ryan Kailoff picks it up from here.
Last month, we profiled an oil field worker named Derek Hadley. At the end of our conversation, Hadley mentioned a song.
Man who sings about the oil field, you know, he always says, give me one more boom or bust. You know, give me one more boom and I'm not going to waste it this time.
Oh, Lord, please give us one more boom. The last one ran out way too soon. If you'll give us one more chance, we'll make the next one last.
The song, which I found on YouTube, is by one Robert L. Platt. Soon after that story aired, I got an email out of the blue from Kenny Platt, Robert's son. I gave Kenny a call, and he joined me in the studio recently. I asked him to tell me about his dad.
My father, Robert L. Platt, was in the oil field for most of his life, 22 years with one company, was laid off back in 1986. In a downturn, very similar to what we're having today. And he was trying to figure out what he was going to do. And, you know, Dad had put together a group of guys, and they just played together. And they encouraged him, hey, why don't you, you know, write some music and record an album? He was actually out promoting this album when he had a stroke, which ended his music career as well. The album was done back in 87. So when the downturn came in 14, I put the title track, Please Give Us One More Boom, up on YouTube. It spoke to reality then, and it speaks to where we are today. And, you know, there's so many people, highly skilled, highly trained professionals, they're out of work. And a lot of them are spiritual and prayerful people, and they're praying, you know, just for this thing to turn around so that they can feed their families and pay their mortgages.
As I stood in line today to draw my unemployment pay, I heard a man in line ahead. When he prayed out loud and said, oh Lord, please give us one more boom. The last one ran out way too soon.
Tell me more about your dad. Where was he born? Tell me about his life and him.
Well, Dad was born in Macon, Mississippi, which is kind of a road sign on the highway in Mississippi. Not much there. His path out was to join the Navy. At one point, he was based here in New Orleans, and that's where he met my mother. He did his tour in the Navy and decided that wasn't for him anymore, so he'd figure out something else to do and somehow found his way into the oil field.
And where were your parents living then?
We settled in Houma, my parents did, early on. My brother and sister and I were born, all three of us were born there.
So did you have any sense that anybody listened to or heard your dad's music, or did you think that it kind of disappeared after he couldn't promote it?
You know, after 30 years, you just, you know, I'd heard from folks just through conversation, you know, I think I heard your dad's song one time on a jukebox down in a beer joint somewhere in South Louisiana. But to our knowledge, no, it never got any radio play. It was kind of just, the career never was able to take off.
I used to have the best job in town. Man, I really gave them fits. I wore tailor-mades and alligator shoes and had a secretary with big eyes. I had a reserved parking place in the company parking lot. But it was taken away by a CPA. Bean counter, hey, thanks a lot.
The way this went down was you found our YouTube video and played it at the end of an interview, and a family member heard the little piece that you played. It was just one of those things where he was just doing his daily business, and all of a sudden he hears Uncle Bob singing. And he sent my brother and my sister and I all a note and said, hey, I just heard your dad on the radio. And that just had to have been really cool for him, because I know it was awesome for us. Mom was really excited about this opportunity as well, and it just brought up, you know, Dad's been gone for 11 years now, and it just brought up a a lot of memories for her and a lot of emotion because Dad put everything he had into everything he ever did. So this was something that he didn't get to finish. So maybe that's what I'm doing for him today. I don't know. It's not nerves, it's pride. You know, I'm happy for it.
But I've taken all of this in stride. I just took it on the chin.
You know, it's important to me. I'm in the oil field myself, and I'm in a position where I can hire people and put them to work. And it's important to me to try to find opportunities to provide a living for folks right now. Dad knew his customers' wives. He knew their kids. He knew where they went to college or where they went to school. If they played ball, he kept up with them. It's pretty neat when I go to somewhere, to an industry event, and somebody comes up and say, "Are you Bob Platt's son?" Because we resemble each other quite a bit. The oil field was more so a family back then than it is now. You know, it's just a different environment. It's a corporate world now. There's lots of money coming in from all over the world. You know, when I got laid off from the first company that I ever worked for, nobody knew who I was. I was employee number 5,965 at a global Fortune 50 company. You know, this decision was made on a golf course somewhere, Augusta Pines or something. You know, the business that I'm in today, you know, I want to know who our employees are. I want to know who their families are. And I want them to know that I care, because I do. And they're not just, you know, an employee to us. They're a family member.
After 22 years with the company, they said due to the bad economy, Robert L., your services are no longer required. Now they chose to call it a reduction in force, but that didn't matter to me, of course, cause far as I'm concerned, hell, I just got fired. So I turned to the guy from personnel and I said, "Okay, partner, what the hell? Just tell me, what's my bottom line?" He said, "Take your pension plan and your 401k and just roll that over into an IRA. And with your severance pay, son, you're going to be just fine." Now, that was easy enough for him to say, because he wasn't the one getting the axe today. And I'm sitting there wishing I was old enough to be retired. Because when you're damn near 50 years of age, you are rapidly approaching the stage in life where it's hard to go out and get rehired. But I just kept my cool, didn't start no fight, but I was damn well mad and I had the right, cause they'd just wasted 22 years of my life. But they figured that they could save a buck, so they just cut me loose and wished me luck with complete disregard.